We welcome Doug Traversa as our speaker today. He is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Tullahoma. He completed his seminary studies at Meadville Lombard Theological School in Chicago. Doug is a retired Air Force officer, and he and his wife, Dancy, live in Tullahoma. Today, Doug will speak on integrity in the Tao Te Ching. Let's welcome Doug.
Well, I'm glad they put the blinds down back here behind me, because I don't know about you, but from my angle, all I saw was this ominous black silhouette up here. It's probably not the image you want to send out as you're in a church service or congregational setting. I'm getting a little feedback. Is it bothering anyone out there? Okay. Before I start the sermon, I just wanted to briefly touch on current events. There's a lot of madness going on over the last week, and a lot of the madness is derived from fear. And I'm not going to go through all the things that have been said and decisions that have been made or are going to be made that affect people all over the world as well as within our own country. I would just encourage each and every one of you, in a time when people are reacting, I guess you could say, irrationally or badly to a perceived threat from Syrian refugees, or the ones I'm specifically thinking of, I just want to remind everyone that in our country, we have wealth beyond the imaginings of most people in the world. Even the poorest of us live in luxury compared to so many. And the people fleeing Syria have no home to go back to. And if the answer is to put them in temporary camps for the rest of their lives because we're afraid there's a slight chance that a terrorist will sneak in with them, we lose a large chunk of our humanity. And we cannot deprive people of hope because we're afraid for our own comfort. There will always be opportunities for people to do evil, and we cannot eliminate that entirely. But if we eliminate compassion in a search for this false security, we harm others, we harm ourselves, we harm our nation. We write the story of our own destruction, I believe, and the terrorists win. And so I would encourage you to be strong. I don't know that too many of you were wrestling with these thoughts, but we see it. We're bombarded with it. And we, as Americans, must be better than this. We must be better than this for our own sake, if not for the sake of the people who have no other place to turn to for hope. And this ties in a little bit, actually, with the sermon. I'm going to be talking about Taoism. One of the things I need to start off with this is that there are multiple spellings and pronunciations when you deal with Taoism. The book that I'm going to refer to, if you say it phonetically, it's the Tao Te Ching. However, most people that I've researched in my vast amount of time studying this, which was longer than most sermons, is that it should be pronounced Tao Te Ching. However, other pronunciations are acceptable, and you can also see other spellings where it's spelled with a D instead of a T. So if I say something that sounds a little odd to you, or you say something that sounds a little odd to me from the way you've studied it, we'll have to cut each other some slack, because I guess there's multiple right answers on this. And I wanted to actually look at the you would think this would be easy, the first chapter in the Tao Te Ching, except I've also discovered that there's different editions in which they're in different orders. So I will be doing chapter 1, which in many versions is actually chapter 38, and it's about integrity, or it could also be interpreted virtue. So any of you who've ever dealt with Asian religions of any sort, you know that pinning down the language is very difficult. And you're going, if you haven't discovered that before, you're going to discover it today. But this is a translation by Victor Mare. And it is not by any means the best. It's the one I had at my house, the one that my wife read and said, hey, look at this chapter. Wouldn't this make a good sermon? Because she's constantly coming up with ideas for me. And I read it and thought, I think that is good. I think I could do something with that. And then I realized that if I'm going to talk about the Tao Te Ching, I have to do a little background research and give you a little bit of history first, a little bit of understanding, and not just read it in a void. And that's why I probably spent like 15 hours preparing for this particular sermon, which is not normal, but I think it was worthwhile. I'm going to be talking about one aspect of Taoism that's often called philosophical Taoism. There is also a religious Taoism, and this religion or philosophy, however you want to look at it, comes out of China. And so you have a philosophical Taoism which strips itself of the mythos that the religious Taoism has. Religious Taoism incorporates Chinese folk religions, and it will include and does include a variety of deities and demons. And it would take a whole nother sermon to talk about that aspect, even in the most superficial way. So today, my focus is philosophical Taoism. The Tao Te Ching was written about 600 BC, or BCE, or whatever the correct acronym is today. That's 200 years before the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha that we all know, 600 years before Jesus. So it has the advantage of having come first. So if anyone copied anyone, they copied Taoism and not the other way around. So you get that. The text was allegedly written by another fellow whose name can be pronounced multiple ways. It looks like Lao Tzu, T-Z-U, although in my studies, most people say Lao Tzu. And this means old master, so it may not even be a person's name. It may just be a title for a generic figure that didn't exactly exist. We're not sure. But in any case, whether an actual figure or a figure who simply had a lot of mythology added to him, or if it's more of a parable or someone who's writing anonymously, it doesn't change the basics of the teaching itself. So like most other famous religious icons like Jesus or the Buddha, the historical person of Lao Tzu has been buried under layer after layer of mythology. If there was an actual person with this name, traditionally he was either a court astrologer or a poet or a philosopher or all of the above, but he was also a civil servant and he worked for the government. And the story goes that one day he got fed up with work and said, enough of this, and he decides to leave the city. But as he's leaving, he passes a guard at the gate. And apparently his philosophical writings were already known because the guard says, oh, wait, please don't leave yet. You have to leave us a written record before you go. What you have to say is way too valuable. And so he did. He wrote the Tao Te Ching. It's actually very short. It's not even as thick as this book because half of this are notes. So it's conceivable that someone could have gone back and spent a few weeks or months writing all this down before he decided to leave the city. But as Taoism spread, in some Taoist circles, Lao Tzu became less and less a man and more a deity. In fact, he was worshipped by some as a god who revealed the Tao to humans. The way of the celestial master became the first Taoist religious sect. It became so powerful that there was actually an independent theocratic state established within China based on Taoism. So it's not just some minor obscure religion. An entire state was set up around this religion. So that's the history in brief. It's obviously much deeper than that, but that gives you a slight outline. There are three very important concepts in Taoism that you need to know before we go into chapter one. The first one is the Tao itself. So whether it's spelled T-A-O or D-A-O, the Tao is the source of all things. It is not, however, personal. It is not a transcendent God that's that's separate from the universe. It's not the Christian idea of a God who creates the universe. Rather, the Tao is the source from which all things in the universe come. Sometimes it's described as the way the universe functions or the flow of the universe. However, it is indescribable. It encompasses everything. But we can find it immanent within ourselves. So we are not separate from the Tao. The Tao actually infuses everything. Now, if this is starting to sound a little bit like the Force in Star Wars, it is. Because George Lucas fully acknowledged Asian religions in creating this idea of the Force. Now, this idea can also be seen in other religions, not just Taoism. It's seen in Chinese Chan Buddhism, which became Japanese Zen Buddhism, as well as other Zen branches in Korea and Vietnam. They were heavily influenced by Taoist teachings. And everyone acknowledges that. There's no secret that one of the unique aspects of Zen Buddhism, as opposed to, say, Tibetan Buddhism or Theravadan Buddhism, found in, say, Ceylon, is that this idea of all things being connected, the Tao, everything infused by the same, that we are all one, even though we can see separate aspects of the universe, we're still all one. This is a very Zen concept. It is the core of Zen Buddhism, as well as the core of Taoism. So this is how the Chinese influenced the spread of Buddhism. The notion of Zen Buddhist enlightenment is the notion that you become aware of the Tao, of the connection of all things. So, whether it's enlightenment or the understanding the Tao, these are personal understandings. This is the next thing you have to really grasp. It cannot be conveyed or understood through language. If you actually grasp this, whether you get a full understanding of how you're connected to everything else, if you really think you've connected with the Tao, it's going to be so personal and so hard to describe that it defies language. And so the goal in Taoism is to achieve harmony with this flow of nature, with the Tao. And if you do this, you achieve something called Wu Wei. And this is accomplished by both your moral actions and by meditation, which again sounds like Buddhism. So now we come to Wu Wei, the second very important aspect of Taoism, which is sometimes called non-doing or actionless action. So if you like contradictions, if you like paradoxes, we got a boatload of them for you today. Wu Wei, simply put, is the concept of doing things without huge effort. An example that's often used is the story of a national flood. Now, we know the story of Noah's flood that covered the whole world. Well, there's plenty of flood legends, and China had them too. But in their case, it was just the nation of China that got flooded. And so the question comes, well, how do we protect our country from being flooded? And there were two approaches. One, you could work against the forces of nature, and so you just build a bunch of dams, and you're building walls, and you're just trying to keep the water out. But the water's pushing in, and that force is constant, but you are forcing against it with walls and structures and dams to keep the water out. And this is the exact opposite of Wu Wei. Wu Wei would say, you know you're going to have all this pressure of water coming down on you. Take advantage of the natural flow of things. Take advantage of nature. Take advantage of topography. Dig gullies. Dig drainage ditches. Dig things that will cause the water to flow away instead of fighting against the water. That is Wu Wei. You also see this often in martial arts, where the idea is you use the force of your opponent against your opponent. So if they come charging at you, you use that momentum, you step out of the way, you flip them, or many other things, but you're using that force, you're using minimal effort to incapacitate your opponent or defeat your opponent. That's another example of Wu Wei. The thing in nature that most often is used to represent Wu Wei is water itself. Because although it's powerful, able to cut huge canyons over time, for instance, it's also very flexible and has an unyielding nature. And so if you want to think of something in nature that exemplifies Wu Wei, the natural flow of water. In fact, blue is the color used by Taoist priests. Blue representing water, representing Wu Wei. I use a practical example for the folks in my congregation, and some of you will understand because you do this also. In our congregation, you often will be asked to fill a position in the pulpit. You'll be asked to speak, and you may not be a natural speaker. You may not wish to do this. You may wish that there was someone who did this every Sunday and you never had to do it, but that's not the case, so sometimes you have to step up. Probably more so in our congregation, we have a lot of Sundays where people in ours have to speak. And so you could approach this with, you know, doom and despair, and I'm not good enough, and you're fighting against it every step of the way, that I don't want to do this, I can't do this, and you're already not exemplifying Wu Wei because you are fighting against everything with every word you write down. But Wu Wei, in a connection to the Tao, would go this way. I'm going to act with honesty and integrity as I work on this talk. I do not have an expectation of an end result. So I am not going to measure success by the fact that, well, 50 people showed up on Sunday. That's success. Or 5 people come up to me afterwards and say, that was a great talk. Or that really was something I needed to hear. As soon as you start establishing these criteria for success and failure, you have stepped away from Taoist thinking. What you should do is just prepare the talk in the best way you can. Don't be disappointed by attendance. Don't be disappointed if people don't, you know, come up to the front afterwards running, pushing each other out of the way to tell you what a great job you did. Don't expect anyone to have a life-altering experience based on your eloquent words. What you should do is prepare with honest, good effort. Present it the same, whether there's 20 or 60 people sitting out there. And if you do this, be satisfied regardless of the discussion afterwards or the feedback from the people. This is Wu Wei. The final concept is Da or De. And this is right out of the Tao Te Ching. If you achieve a state of Wu Wei, you acquire Da. You can't actively pursue it. It comes after much cultivation. So in this sense, it reminds me of the Buddhist idea of enlightenment. You can't pursue it. It may come through your practice. So the Tao is a guide. Just as in Zen Buddhism, you don't pursue enlightenment. In Taoism, you don't pursue Da. There are, of course, different interpretations of what this is. In one view, Da is somewhat like this charismatic power. Not in the negative sense, not in the sense of false charisma of people who take advantage of others, but rather a genuine charisma because people are drawn to you by the stand you take and the way you live. And because of this, people will want to be around you. People will want to follow you. To some, it's actually a key to success. But remember, you're not actively trying to acquire this. It only comes after much cultivation by the practice of Wu Wei. But another interpretation, the one we're going to be looking at today, rather than some kind of a charismatic power or magnetism, it is virtue, an inner power or integrity. Again, these traits attract people, so it's not entirely different, but in either case, you don't strive after Da. You can only live in a way to cultivate it. And there are different ways that this is understood in different Asian religions. So in Buddhism, it will often be referred to as quality, merit, or virtuous deeds. In Confucianism, it's social virtue or morality. In Taoism, personal virtue, inner power, and integrity. So when we look at the Tao Te Ching, we see these concepts in the very title of the collection. Tao, the way of the universe. da, which is integrity, which you would get by achieving wu wei, connecting to the flow of the universe, and jing, which means great book or classic. So Tao Te Ching could literally mean the great book of the way and integrity. A more poetic translation would be the classic of the virtuous way, which is how it's often interpreted. And some of the contradictory or paradoxical statements that I said I have a boatload of, there are a few I'm going to share with you that are some of the more famous ones. First of all, the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. Wu Wei is often referred to as non-doing or actionless action. Here's an even better one, at least one of my favorites. Those who know do not speak. Those who speak do not know. Or finally, when you are content to be simply yourself and don't compare or compete, everyone will respect you. So now, looking at the chapter on integrity, which is Tao, or I'm sorry, duh. I almost made it without slipping up. Chapter 1 or 38, depending on which version you have. I'll read a few lines and give you some commentary. When I use the word integrity or virtue here, we're talking about da out of Tao Te Ching. The person of superior integrity, and when I say integrity, you can think virtue. The person of superior integrity does not insist upon his integrity. For this reason, he has integrity. So if you have integrity, you don't insist upon it. And because you don't insist upon it, that is a sign that you actually have it. Those who go around trumpeting their own morality are the ones you should be most leery of. The person of inferior integrity never loses sight of his integrity. For this reason, he lacks integrity. So the person with bogus integrity who doesn't really have integrity, they're constantly watching them. Not losing sight of it means I'm always talking about it. I'm telling you all the integrity I have. What a wonderful, virtuous person I am. Those are the people who lack it. If you are virtuous, you don't need to tell anyone. People will see it in how you live. Conversely, if all you do is talk about how virtuous you are, well, actions, not words, establish the truth and prove whether you have integrity or not. This next section is particularly important, particularly timely, because you see this stuff going on both in religious warfare that's going on, you see it in the political system in our country right now. So listen to this. The person of superior integrity takes no action. That's Wu Wei. You're connected to the flow. The person of superior integrity takes no action, nor has he a purpose for acting. And we're going to contrast four steps here. So the first step is the person of superior integrity has no purpose for acting. What does that mean? That's the idea that you are not establishing criteria of success or failure. You are acting in a way of integrity, and it comes naturally because you have connected to the Tao, the flow of all things in the universe. So that's the highest level. And now we're going to step down a level at a time. The person of superior humaneness takes action, but has no purpose for acting. Okay, so now you have a person who is caring and compassionate, and they deliberately take actions that they think are compassionate. And that's good. It's not a bad thing, but they haven't quite connected to the Tao yet. They're not acting with Wu Wei, but they are still trying to be compassionate without measuring their success or failure with criteria. So that's one step down. They're not quite to the point where they've connected to the Tao. Still a good thing, though. Now the next step. The person of superior righteousness. See, we've gone from integrity to humaneness to righteousness. The person of superior righteousness takes action and has a purpose for acting. Righteousness here isn't a good idea. What this is the person of outward righteousness. I am doing things with a deliberate measure of success or failure, so my actions are designed to be measured, both by me and by others. So now you're putting on a show of righteousness. And finally, a really interesting translation of a word, the person of superior etiquette. Now, etiquette, much better translation, or at least understanding for us, would be ritual, or even better, legalism, religious legalism. The person of superior religious legalism takes action, but others do not respond to him. Whereupon he rolls up his sleeves and coerces them. Okay? So now you have the legalistic person with no connection to the Tao, doing things with clear-cut measures of success and failure, and no one's responding. And what do they want to do? They want to use force to make you live the way they think you should live. Now, that has a lot of real-world application right now, both in our political system and in the world. Therefore, when the way is lost, in other words, you have not connected to the Tao, when the way is lost, afterward comes integrity. When integrity is lost, afterward comes humaneness. When humaneness is lost, afterward comes righteousness. When righteousness is lost, afterward comes religious legalism. So you have this level, religious legalism, righteousness, outward righteousness. Then you have genuine humaneness, and then you have integrity. And there is where people actually want to follow you, because they see within you a naturalness that comes without having to think about it in a way you live, ethical, caring, humane, without worrying about, have I failed or succeeded in the eyes of others? That is the level we're going for, that integrity. Now, he contrasts. Now we're going backwards. We started with integrity, went down to etiquette or religious legalism. Now, religious legalism is the weakening of trustworthiness and the source of disorder. Foreknowledge, seeking to know the future, is but the blossomy ornament of the way and the source of ignorance. So if you're always trying to know the future, you're trying to map everything out with the absolute end result that you want to achieve, he compares this to the blossomy ornament of the way, but a source of ignorance. For this reason, the great man resides in the Tao, in substance, and not in ritual or legalism. He resides in fruitful reality, not blossomy ornament. In other words, you want the fruit. You don't want the flower. You want the fruit. You want something of substance, not something that just looks pretty. You want the substance. The fruitful reality, not the blossomy ornament. Therefore, he rejects the one and adopts the other. He rejects religious legalism. He adopts the way of the Tao. Rituals, legalism, seeking to know the future, all these things are flowery ornaments, but they don't matter. Becoming one with the Tao, having true integrity, comes through Wu Wei. You need to be like the water that flows instead of constantly fighting against nature, against the universe. Connect to it, and then you will be able to live with integrity. Avoid the things that only flower. You need to dwell with the things that produce fruit. So there you have it. Now we're all experts in Taoism together. And during our discussion circle, I'll do my best to answer any questions. I'm not a practicing Taoist. I will add that during my research, there is actually a place in Colorado where they practice the religious Taoism. They have a temple and the priests and everything. And if you wanted to do further reading on that, they have a huge website. But also, if you want to talk about current events during the discussion, that's also welcome, because I realize that's on a lot of people's minds. But I thank you very much for having me out here. I enjoy coming out every month and being with you. It's a special time for me, and it's just meaningful that you still have me come after all these years. Thank you.